New World Witchery is possible thanks to the generous support of our sponsors. We'd like to take a moment to recognize our producer-level Patreon supporters.
Heather, Jenna,
Akia Bronvan Sienach, Christopher,
Ye Old Magic Shop, Raven Darkmoon,
Little Wren, JC,
Josette, Jen Rue of Rue and Hyssop,
Athena Beth, Catherine,
Corvus, Sonara at theauburnsky.com,
Victoria, Jonathan at the Modern Southern Polytheist,
Montine, Hazel,
Regina, Michael,
Patrick, and Sherry. To show your support and keep the show going, please consider visiting patreon.com/newworldwitchery and pledging $1 a month or whatever you can. And as always, thanks to all of our listeners.
Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Witchery.
This time around, we're looking at the wonderful selection of magical objects our listeners sent in to us during our recent contest.
We'll be getting creative and crafty with coins, cats, and keys, among other things. So stick with us. If we fail, it's your fault, you see. It is entirely...
You sounded like William Shatner when you said that, and I don't know if it was because of that was how you said it, or it was because of Skype.
It could be either at this point, because again, you cursed us.
Yeah, I said foolishly that I thought this was going to be a good show before we started recording, and then... Now we're having all kinds of technical problems.
Yes, every time we're trying to put this together, it's like we get into an echo box or half of our call drops. It's been crazy. So, but you know what? You're not here to hear about our problems. You're here to hear
about magic.
And we got some magic for you tonight. Stay tuned. With Delilah.
Oh no. I hated her.
I have a fondness for her as sort of like this background piece of my childhood. So, And apparently she's a really nice person too. So, okay. So that's enough about
Delilah
FM radio of the 1990s. Let's move on. So tonight's theme is magical objects, and it's not just any magical objects. These are the magical objects that people submitted to us for our recent magical objects contest, where we had you select sort of random things that you sort of run into in everyday life. We didn't want you to like necessarily come up with what do you do with an abandoned warehouse space or something like that, because one, you should be able to come up with some things. And two, like, we wouldn't really have any practical use for that. And, like, we didn't want, like, you know, dragon's toenails, you know, because hard to come by. So we wanted, you know, stuff that people kind of run into in their everyday life that is interesting or maybe slightly unusual, maybe something that, like, not everybody runs into, but that people, find themselves using over and over again kind of every day and maybe want to see, is there a way to tweak that magically, a way to incorporate that into magical practice? And so we got some really interesting, good responses, some really cool objects. And we each sort of picked three for tonight. But that doesn't mean this will be the only time you ever hear about this either. So, but we'll get to that at the end of the
show.
So.
Exactly.
All right. So. We each kind of have, like I said, three to tackle. Do you want to, should we alternate? Is it boy, girl? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So I think if we're going to do that, I want to start with one, cause two of mine are kind of animal related. So I'm going to start with the one that's not animal related. Janice, okay. sent in a really, really good tip, and she basically sent in a tip for an everyday object she uses that helps with her magical practice. She says, "Hey guys, one of my new world shortcuts, my electric coffee bean grinder. Super handy, super fast way to grind herbs for anything. Teas, bath soaks, floor washes, candle anointing, incense add-ins. Seriously anything. While mortar and pestle definitely gives me the all witchy feels, sometimes just the amount to grind or lack of time or that painful bruise that happens in the heel of your hand after grinding too long. Oh my god, we've all been there." That's my addition. I'm totally sympathizing with you there, Jace. Gets in the way. $10 coffee grinder to the rescue. Which, I love that tip. It's a totally great tip. So, and kind of in the spirit of that, I also wanted to go beyond just that as sort of like a, because it's a useful, handy kind of like tip for what you're gonna, you know, if you need to be able to grind a couple of herbs really, really quickly to turn them into an incense or turn them into like a powder that you're gonna use. It's a super great suggestion. But I also thought, like, is there a way that I can tweak the coffee grinder itself and make it a tool of magic beyond sort of preparing ingredients? And so I came up with kind of a weird idea, and mm-hmm. I don't know how you're gonna feel about this, but bear with me on it. Let's see where this goes. So I got this idea of, like, you could use it as a way of doing a banishment or like a removal spell in your life by basically taking, like, you know how you can make like salt dough or like those holiday ornaments that are like cinnamon dough cookies and things like that. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they're really, really dry and crispy, right?
Yes.
And if you just, so there's this tradition in like Latin American, Hispanic magic where, like, you use what are called milagros, which are these, like, little silver ornaments in the shapes of different, like, body parts or things that you want, and you leave them sort of at the feet of saint statues or you bring them to the church, things like that. And I thought, well, why not use that same principle, and you would just sort of craft the thing that you want to get rid of out of that dough. And, like, you could even then, you know, work in some of the herbs, especially if they're powdered or dried already, work that into your dough, make the crisp cookie, and then grind that up into a powder as you're doing sort of a chant or an incantation over it. And the thing about it is, like, if you've ever used one of these coffee grinders, no matter what they say, they are not whisper quiet. Like, they are loud as heck. and so you have to, like, so, like, if you start off by, like, sort of mumbling the chant to yourself as you're putting everything in, by the time you get to where you're actually grinding it, you have to shout it. So there's, like, this really, like, primal thing that's happening where you're just, like, pulverizing this. And so I was thinking, like, you could use it to, like, banish a person from your life if you wanted to. Like, if there's a person that you wanted to get rid of, sure. But you could also use it, like, if you have a disease or something, you could make, you know, an image of that disease in some way, shape, or form, and have that be sort of your the thing that you're
banishing.
Getting rid of. So like with milagros, I know, like, one of the things that they do is they'll the body parts, like if you have cancer, for example, if you have breast cancer, they will do breasts. You can actually, you leave breasts at the altar of, say, for example, St. Jude or something like that. Somebody who's going to, or St. Martha, maybe, if in certain cases. If you're trying to, you know, do something that has to do with healing, something like that, well, you could make something like that out of the dough as well, and then sort of grind up and banish that too. And then just carry the powder kind of to a place where you dispose it, like either in running water, at a crossroads. You can divide it up among multiple places to sort of send it to the four corners of the earth, mm-hmm. and sort of have it be banished that way. Am I crazy? Is this a nutso idea?
No, it's not crazy.
Okay.
I'm down with trying, you know, almost anything as long as it's, you know, within the realm of goodness. That sounds weird, but but trying it at least once, you know?
Cool. Well, good.
But it's funny because I do see her, like, suggestion of using it as a, like, a modern day mortar and pestle. But I don't really use my mortar and pestle very much. So I like your idea of kind of making it a magical object as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like kind of changing it from a Boleyn to an Athame.
Right, yeah. You're adding a new layer of use to it, and doing it in that way. I mean, I still really like the idea of using it to grind herbs mm-hmm. for soaks and stuff like that too. I will say, and I don't think she mentioned this in the email, but I will say, if you're doing that, particularly if you're doing anything that involves, well, rosins are tricky because they can really literally gum up the works, so to speak. But if you're grinding anything that there's even like a risky element of consumption, so for example, pennyroyal. For a lot of people, pennyroyal is not a big deal, right? You can make teas and things out of it and all that. But if someone's pregnant, pennyroyal is really, really a bad idea. So if you're grinding up dried pennyroyal in it, you need to make sure it gets super duper clean, or, and this is something that we do, we have separate grinders for stuff like that.
That's what I was about to say. I would just do a separate, I would just keep it magical.
Exactly.
Even if it's mundanely magical, that's yes. what I would still use it for personally. But.
Yeah. Like she said, it's like 10, 12 bucks to buy one of these things. So like you can have your grinder for coffee, you can have your grinder for spices, and then you can have your grinder for like magical businesses. So,
grinder and your coffee too.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's no reason that you can't have multiples of these things. And I do think that there may be some sort of pushback on this idea and saying, well, no, you know, the physical working of the material
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
really important. And I think that there's some truth to that. But I also think that there are ways that you sort of can bridge that gap when grinding your ingredients this way. And that's one of the reasons I suggest the sort of like screaming your incantation over the top of this thing while it's grinding.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're sort of shifting where the effort is by doing that.
Right.
So you shift it from being grinding with your hand to grinding with your vocal cords. It's a much more metal way to do it, I guess, is what I'm saying. And we are nothing if not metal here at New World Witching.
Much more hardcore.
All right, so what's your first one?
My first one that I wanted to talk about is keys. And I pulled up the wrong one. So this one kind of hits home for me because I have kind of an affinity for keys as well. So she says, one thing that stood out very prominently is keys. I never realized how often I have keys on me until I started paying attention to what I have in my hands on a regular basis. Besides my house keys, my car keys, I carry a whole cluster of keys with me at work. The only time I'm not carrying keys is when I'm sitting at home, and even then, I have two keys tattooed on my arm, so really, I am never without keys. That's true. I have a key tattoo as well, so this one really kind of stood out to me. So, yeah, so I just wanted to talk about the first thing that comes to mind for me, and I'm sorry this is a repeat for a lot of people because I'm sure I've talked about it a lot, but The Secret Garden was a big influence on me as a child. It's one of my most favorite books. It was actually one of the books we sent out in our mm-hmm. last Patreon big, you know, like contributor bundle thank you thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I had kind of written a spell to go along with that using some of the words from the book itself. And anyway, so in the book, Mary finds the key buried in the earth. A robin shows it to her, and it unlocks this garden, which unlocks her life, basically. You know, she finds happiness, and she finds her kind of place in the world. So keys have always really represented the discovery of knowledge for me, in a broad sense, but also the discovery of, I guess, witchcraft too for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, not to get like too philosophical or what it means to me personally, but just so you know where I'm coming from. So keys to me aren't just unlocking doors, which I think is a very valid way to use them in magic. And I don't mean like Alohomora, like a physical door. You know, I mean like something's kind of like an unblocking type of thing. I think that's perfectly fine to use that. But I also think you can use it to gain things that are kind of out of your reach. You mm-hmm. know, like one of the things I talk about on here a lot, you know, I have chronic fatigue. I have just a lot of low level energy issues. And so that's something that I kind of focus, using a particular key on kind of helping bring me energy. But again, that sounds really hokey, but yeah, what I use it for. So,
no, I mean, that makes a lot of sense the way that you're talking about it. And that, you know, the idea of sort of it's almost not just unlocking, but unblocking. So,
yeah.
And I dig that. I can go with that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it meant enough to me to have a tattoo of it. So, and this was before even any of my health issues. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's the symbolism of it has always really meant a lot to me. And plus, they're just pretty. Like skeleton keys, I just think are really interesting looking.
Yeah. So one thing I think is kind of interesting about keys is the idea of ideally, like sort of the way that we think about it is ideally each lock has its key, right? So there's a one-to-one matching thing. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like it represents a perfect solution. And skeleton keys are interesting because they sort of are the cheat to that because they're the universal solution to the universal problem in a lot of ways. So I've always sort of enjoyed that aspect of skeleton keys is that they bypass the function of the key sort of but retain the form, and I sort of love mm-hmm. that. I sort of love that about them. I will say
you could do that with a modern day key nowadays mm-hmm. with a master key.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is kind of
if we're talking about the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Folklorically, I know, putting on my folklorist hat, which is I think a very fuzzy hat with horns on it. I would imagine that's what a folklorist hat looks like.
I always imagine it kind of as the, sorting hat, but.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense too. Okay.
That's just me.
Maybe we'll compromise. It's a sorting hat, but it has jackalope antlers.
Okay.
There we go. That's the folklore. If anybody feels like drawing fan art of Corey's folklorist hat,
that would be amazing.
We will post it up on one of our social media feeds.
Yes.
So putting on my folklorist hat, I know that keys are used for a couple of different types of divination as well. So you can use them as a pendulum, which is a super effective way of using a key as a divinatory tool. Where you can ask it yes or no questions, or you can even write things on like a piece of paper and have it, you know, ask it to point to the thing that you need to know. So it becomes kind of like a portable Ouija board, which is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's, I know in a lot of, I won't say early American, sort of 19th century American lore and a little earlier than that too. There's a lot of like using a key in a Bible, where you can essentially wrap a Bible around a key and suspend it. And, depending on how the key turns the Bible, it will answer your questions. So you mostly yes or no questions is essentially what you're going to get.
Cool. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that so obviously not the physical object, but the word key has many different definitions. Mm-hmm. And one that I like to associate with it is the key to, the list of symbols used in a map.
Mm-hmm.
So like the key to your map is, okay, so this blue line means, a river, and this smaller blue line means a creek, you know, that type of thing. Like this double line means a road, and it, again, it unlocks knowledge. So I like to kind of, associate that with it as well. So, I mean, it's kind of, it gives you this, but I just love that there's kind of a totally different aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we went by Compass and Key for our email address and mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. old Etsy business was the idea that you had, you know, a key is a physical object, but it is also the thing that unlocks a map, so to speak. And a compass is another aspect of that. that orients you on the map, so that one tells you the symbols and one tells you the direction. In between the two of them, they're sort of a pathfinding.
Yes.
Which was,
you know, we've never actually explained that before to anybody, I don't think.
It's only taken you it's taken us 8 years to get to this.
But yeah, that does explain our email.
Yeah, we just get a lot smarter when we put on our folklore hats. That's what it is. It's the antlers, really. Draw down alien signals. if you wrap them in tinfoil, I'm sure they do. It is this sense of, like, you can use it as a... And I think, like... I love that you point out that it can have multiple meanings, and that, like, if you carry a key, it can signify, it can represent all of those meanings at once. Like, it doesn't have to be just because you're carrying the physical, like, house key. It doesn't have to mean that's the only version of the key that you are referencing when you pick it up. You're sort of unlocking. You're sort of unlocking this range of significance, this range of meaning, so that, you know, you could use it as a way of, like, finding your next step. You could use it as a way to sort of indicate what's, and that's where the, you know, divination comes in, is like, help me to figure out what I do next, right?
Right.
Sort of,
right.
It points you in the next direction that you need to go. I love that. That's super awesome.
Yes. And it's funny because there are so many different definitions. I mean, there's, like, really specific ones. And then also, you know, there's, like, keys on a keyboard. There are keys musically. So there are, you know, I don't want to get into all of them, but there are so many different ways that you could kind of use that definition, or the, you know, the specific one that you want to, and kind of shape your magic around that. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Okay. What's your next one?
Okay. So, the other ones I selected are both animal based. I'll start with, Christina, who sent in an email saying, I'm writing in response to your magical item challenge. What can I do with cat whiskers? I gather these humanely. Don't worry. Just as my cat sheds his fur, and oh boy, does he shed. He sheds his whiskers. I'll find one every once in a while as he lounges around my house. Every time I find one, I save it. Cats are such a mysterious, magical creature, so I thought their whiskers must have some kind of magical use. And she also mentions we'd asked if people could, to sort of give us an idea of kind of where your path is, so that we can figure out maybe, you know, something that would be in line with that path. And so Christina is eclectic Wiccan. So I tried to tackle it from the eclectic Wiccan side of things. Briefly, and I didn't get very far with that. I think that I just must not be really the person to go to for that. Because I felt like, oh, well, I could go down the path of, like, looking at Bastet, for somebody who kind of works with Egyptian gods or goddesses, right? And maybe that would be something, but it just wasn't, I couldn't find anything that sort of clicked with me. So instead, I sort of turned to what I knew a little bit more about, which was hoodoo. And in hoodoo, you can use lots of different parts of cats. The fur is frequently used, but also the whiskers can be used for a couple of different things. And now, some of these things are decidedly non-Wiccan as well. So one of the main things that you might use cat whiskers for would be, you would put them in, you could use them to, like, pierce a lemon. If you are careful with them, you can do this. You can use them to pierce a lemon with dog whiskers, and then that you use that as a charm to make people fight. So it creates tension and animosity between a couple. If you're trying to break up that couple to, you know, I don't know, whatever your reasons are. And again, that's one of those ones where I'm like, well, it's probably not really in line with a lot of Wiccan ethics. So maybe I can dig in and find more. And so some of the other stuff that you could do with those. There were a lot of charms where cats are associated with gambling. So cats are kind of this lucky creature as well. And you can use these to make, like, gambling mojos, for example, where you have, like a little mojo hand that you carry with you into a gambling, like a casino or something like that. And it's supposed to bring you good luck. You could probably put cat whiskers under the soles of your shoes and get some similar, sorts of luck. I thought about, you know, we have this idea of, like, a voodoo doll, or a poppet. And if you wanted to give somebody, like, really good luck, you might make a poppet of them and then use the cat whiskers in place of the needles to sort of pierce them. For example, in their hands, if they're going to be gambling with their hands, or their pockets, if you want their pockets to be filled with money, things like that. And then the final thing I thought about, and I sort of looked at this in terms of some of the cat associations. This is kind of going off of the main path in hoodoo, but I think it still might work. And that is this idea of the cat as a night hunter, right? Mm-hmm. So cat goes hunting at night. Its whiskers are one of the ways it sort of senses its way around things in the dark, the way it feels where prey is or feels where to go next, right?
Right. I'm glad you brought that up. Not to totally, like, sidetrack you, but it's funny that you went kind of, like, you went very magical with it, and I was like, okay, so what are cat's whiskers actually for? And, like, they are nerve receptors, and it's like you said, they do help them, like, feel, and, you know, you should never cut your cat's whiskers and because it disorients them. And mm-hmm. So anyway, okay, so yes, keep going.
Yes. Okay, so and I think you'll probably have a lot of kind of similar things to kind of go with this, maybe not quite the direction that I went with it, but I think this would work really well, particularly for women, as if you made like a sort of perfume oil, using maybe a little bit of jasmine essence. And I said maybe doing an almond or apricot oil with some cat whiskers in there, and maybe, you know, throwing even some bay leaves for you know, sort of a conquering ability, or some Queen Elizabeth root in there for some sort of any sort of female empowerment. It would sort of allow you to have the upper hand in sort of a going out clubbing situation or going out dating situation, like trying to find you know, some, I don't want to say like somebody to hook up with, because like that's not quite what I mean by it, but it could be sort of an attracting love or attracting lust or attracting attention sort of kind of formula, where you're using it as a way to sort of be a night hunter, a person who goes out and is looking for you know, making that connection with somebody, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So I'm guessing it's not quite where you were going with it, but I'm curious to see kind of how you took it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't know where, like, I have kind of the basis for it. Like, it's, but it almost sounds like what I was just talking about with the key stuff, where it's how they get around. It's how they kind of sense, their surroundings. I mean, obviously they use their feet. That's not how they get around, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I can't make that leap from where to go from there, but it's like, it's on the tip of my tongue almost. And we should say, like, we each picked three to talk about beforehand, and we just shared them with each other, like, right before we started recording. So I didn't have as much time to think on this one, not to, like, throw out excuses, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we wanted to be able to be sort of fresh with it as well, and sort of be on the fly with, so we thought about our own, but we didn't necessarily think about the other person's, that we were, so that we would each sort of have our own ideas and, like, see if we could work our magic and be inspired. So.
Yeah, okay, wait. Okay. So I'm looking up, just like what, like the anatomy of the whisker, like what it actually does. Mm-hmm. So. They are connected securely to the sensitive muscular and nervous systems, sending information about the surroundings directly to the cat's sensory nerves. So what if you used it in sort of like psychic or like scrying, mm-hmm. you know, like fortune telling type of work?
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Like, so you can get a better, like, kind of extend your range, kind of enhance your proverbial feelers, you know, like, like, but again, I don't know how you would do that, but.
So I've got an interesting idea. Like, if you were looking for something that you lost, that would be a really, really useful thing. So, like, maybe hold a cat hair and sort of let mm-hmm. it sort of guide you like a divining rod, or even like taking a cat hair and like holding it over a map and like slowly and like waiting for it to twitch. And whenever it twitches, like, that's sort of the indication that that's where you should look for something. Ooh, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. See, what I thought was, like, you know, when people scry in a, like using water in a black container or yeah. a cauldron or something.
Yeah.
Like putting the whiskers in the water.
Yeah. And like letting them sort of be one of the things that influences the shapes that you see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig that. Or even, you know, the fact that they're floating on top of the water makes them kind of like a compass needle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah, that's kind of neat.
Love it.
Yeah, I like that. That's neat. There's a lot to that. What do you think of the needle aspect of them that I was doing? Like, that's one of those things where I was like, perhaps a little out of my element. Like, I'm not 100% sure on that. So I'm curious what you think on that.
What do you mean? Did I miss something?
Like, when I was talking about using them as like a needle and like a poppet.
Oh, right. Because my head went to like needle and thread, and I was like, did our connection cut out again? And I'm sorry. yeah, they are stiff enough and strong enough. I mean, I don't know. Cats do have kind of the reputation for like, they're not, you know, as friendly as a, or most of them are not as friendly as dogs. And they do have kind of that like aloof mm-hmm. nature. I can see that working.
Okay.
I wouldn't personally do it, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was just kind of curious about that. And then, you know, what else, I mean, like, what else could you use the nocturnal aspect of that for? Like, that's the other side of this. Like, I really felt like the whiskers, because they're sort of the eyes in the dark. And I think that the scrying definitely kind of taps into that, but like, is there some other, like, nocturnal use for them that we're missing?
Well, I don't know, because the nocturnal that you brought up that I think of is for hunting, and I'm not a hunter, but right. for animals, and I've been married for almost 11 years, so I'm not a hunter.
I'm barely a gatherer. I just yeah. No, I get you. Yeah, and it is a little bit more difficult. Like, I was trying to think, like, what else could you... And, like, that was one of those things where I was like, well, the only thing I can think of hunting at night is, like, sweet, sweet lovin'. So I guess that's what I'll go with. There you have it. Corey's magic formula for sweet, sweet night lovin'. Featuring cat whiskers. I'm sure that's what you were hoping for when you wrote in, Christina. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay.
All right, what's your next one?
You want to move on? Okay.
Yes.
Let me pull it up here. Okay, that was the key one. This one's really cool. My unusual object is the New York City subway token. So a little background. Prior to the adoption of the MetroCard magnetic swipe system, which I did the research, and I think they adopted that in like 2003,
mm-hmm.
The subway here in my hometown operated on tokens. I have two of them left from that time. If you haven't seen one, Google or look at the New York City Transit Museum website should suffice. So she says, I'm most comfortable in a kind of Wiccan format with elements, etc., but for the last few years my practice has been more freestyle, more North American. I wish I could find a lot more resources on Connecticut and New England lore. I like to study trees and plants and the properties of those, but my base practice is probably still Celtic Wiccan inspired. So
I'm just going to pause you there for a second. Sure. Highly recommend Peter Muse's New England folklore blog if you're interested in New England lore, and he does get into Connecticut specifically occasionally too, so just throwing that out there is like, if you're looking for that, that's a place to go. So
yeah, these things are really cool looking, first of all. So mm-hmm. I did Google, and most of them have like a Y cutout in the center of them. Sorry, I just want to
mm-hmm.
I want to pull up the image again so I can talk about it while looking at it. And they say like New York City Transit Authority or Good for One Fare. So it's interesting because the first thing that jumps out to me is that it's a coin with a hole in it, which mm-hmm. always kind of seemed magical to me. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing my head goes to is like paying the coin, like kind of that mythological story. And how it was used for travel, obviously, so I definitely see it being used as a sort of protection while traveling, or I could even see it being used in ancestor type of work. Wasn't it the River Styx that you had to pay to get across?
You had to pay Charon the ferryman, the 2 pennies, or the 2 coins for the ride across.
So I can see you, like, okay, you have your altar set up, and then, you know, you kind of lay these down ceremoniously, and that kind of opens the door for ancestor-type work. Of course, that's not quite Wiccan, so I could, like I said, I can see it being used for protection while traveling, especially, you know, anointing it with something. Corey, I'm sure you'll have something to say about that, because you work with coins as well, right? I'm pretty sure you have one in your car.
I do, yeah. So yeah, I use the penny shield for traveling. I mean, I love all of what you're saying. Like the ones that stick out the most to me are the sort of like paying the coin in sort of a spiritual journeying sense. I think that's super useful. I like your idea of the protection while traveling. I could see you turning this into like an amulet that you wear around your neck, like anointing it with St. Christopher oil or, you know, any kind of like a safe travel, sort of formulary, that would be good. Any kind of like protection oriented oil would be effective.
The other thing that's jumping out to me as I'm looking at it, is that it's, the Y, like I said, is cut out. Mm-hmm. So it's got like, you know, like a three points.
Sure.
In it. So that's kind of making me think of the Trinity, not necessarily Jesus, but, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
You know, however you want to take it. Three points that you want to make with it, you know, like say you are using it for traveling. So, you know, may I always have enough money to get where I'm going? May I always be safe? And may the people always be happy to see me when I get there? You know, that type of thing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. It's having a triad of sort of intentions. Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, if you think about, so like it's basically three roads coming together. It's the trivia or the trivia, which is associated with like Hecate. So you could have something that's sort of about like crossroads, journeying as well. That works really, really well for that.
Oh, the other thing that makes me think of, see, I love how we can just like kind of bounce off each other's ideas, which is why we did it like this.
Yeah.
So it looks like the fork in a road.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at it in YC, so the bottom part of the Y is where you're standing and where you're, you know, you hold it in your palm, and then it forks off into two different spaces. So you could definitely use it for, you know, instead of drawing like a tarot card or maybe a pendulum for like a yes, no decision, use this coin, you know, for, okay, should I go left or should I go right? And then flip it and see where it takes you, you know, that type of thing.
Sure.
I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. That also makes me think, like, you could use it in a spell, so, like, it would make sense because it looks like either a path diverging or a path converging.
Yes.
Depending on how you look at it. So, like,
yeah, and depending on how you're holding it, like, in your palm, yeah.
Right. So, if you're far away from somebody, you could start it off in your palm so it's facing, like, it looks like the path is diverging, and then as you're working your magic, you slowly turn it around in your head to have the path turn to a converging path. And so that would bring you back together with the person that you're trying to find or the person that you're trying to get in touch with. So,
love it.
Yeah, so that's pretty effective. I like that.
Me too. Honestly, I'm like wanting one of these now. But yeah, it's pretty cool because the Y is the most prominent design, but there are different designs. There's one with a pentagram cut out.
Oh, okay.
Not a pentagram. What did I – sorry. A – What is the word? Now I can't think. Yes, a pentagon. Yeah, okay. Sorry. Yeah. Pentagon cut out in the middle. And then there's another one that I saw that was done for the Diamond Jubilee, I believe. And it has a diamond at the top cut out. I'm trying to find a picture of it again. And then, like, kind of radiating beams out from that on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Or to the sides. Yeah, that looks pretty cool. And it almost looks like a tunnel, and like the diamond is the light at the end of the tunnel, kind of.
Okay.
So yeah, there are so many ways I feel like you could use these coins. This is so cool.
Yeah, and I think like it also puts me in mind of, have you ever seen they're called like hobo nickels?
Maybe. What is that? Maybe I just don't know the word for it.
Okay, so there are these they're basically like, it used to be this thing like where people, hobos, would take the, take like nickels or quarters or whatever, and they would use like a nail or something to scratch designs into it. Like they would scratch off the design that was already there or alter the design. So like George Washington's head would become a skull, right? And they would
change. Oh, I have seen those.
Right. So they do that. Like I feel like you could probably, like these look like the metal is soft enough that you could probably do something similar with these, like alter the letters if you wanted to, like make them for something else. You could take like sandpaper and like just alter the coin itself and turn it into a coin that's designed to pay for some specific thing. Mm-hmm. You could work a design into it kind of around the shape that's cut out, and then sort of leave it somewhere that, you know, if you're trying to get more money, maybe like you're paying the spirits of the bank with this special coin to bring you more money into your account or something like that, if that makes sense. It works really well, I think, for urban magic particularly.
Yeah, I agree. So. And I did research this. I tried and tried to figure out what they are actually made of, and I couldn't find it. But, you know, that may just be my Googling skills. That may not be because it's not available. So, you know, you could also kind of take into account if you can figure out what it's made of, what metal, and kind of use that to your advantage too.
Yeah. I mean, it looks sort of like bronze or something like that, but I mean, it could be anything.
But I didn't want to speculate without like actually knowing. So
yeah. Yeah. It could be anything. I'm sure somebody else knows. Somebody from New York will probably be like, no, it's this thing. So,
right.
And also, you know, the fact that this is a coin that has a hole in it ties into the tradition of, like, looking through holy stones, like stones with holes in them, to see the other world. And, like, I'm really fascinated by the idea of, like, urban magic and how you adapt in an urban environment to these kind of folkloric practices. If you wanted to sort of engage in, like, a vision walk, like, this, and that's something I do. I like to actually physically go out into places after sort of doing some sort of a working to see what I encounter in the real world that sort of reflects something magical. I think you could use these tokens and sort of use them, like put them, you know, you'd be the weirdo that's like looking through a token every once in a while, but it's New York, who cares? You know, there are weirder people, I guarantee you. So you'd like look through the token and like see if it alters your perception of the world that you're seeing in some significant way. To like indicate like, oh, there's this interesting magical thing I should be paying attention to. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a pretty rich little piece
object.
Of magic. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I totally want some of those now.
I know. I'm even seeing, I'm sure you can find some on Etsy as well, but I'm seeing some people have turned them into rings that you can wear.
Yep.
Which just offers up a whole other opportunity for use, so because you would have it, you know, you could have it with you on your person all the time. So
yeah, and it looks like somebody's like turned it into like the back of a watch face and things like that. So people have done a lot of neat things with these.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but that's not even all of that is not even getting into the potential concept of like using them as a sort of transportation payment in a sort of like. I don't know, like using them as a way to sort of pay for a journey that goes beyond. And I think you mentioned that sort of briefly, but
yeah,
but using them to sort of pay for your spiritual journey in general. So yeah, I like that. It's a really cool thing.
Yeah, so much you could do. So yeah, much. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who's sent in objects. I mean, we'll probably thank you again at the end, but yeah, thank you for that very interesting submission.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, my final one comes from Jess. I want to make sure I can use the name. And she specifically said I could, so. Says, hi, I love your podcast so much. Aw, thanks, we love you too. Only recently found it, going through back episodes. Okay, and so, she says, it's my favorite podcast to listen to when I'm taking care of my horses, and that's where my question comes from. While most of my horses are retired now, I have one young horse named Mo, who I ride in, 3-day eventing. It's very challenging, with a lot of potential for injury and heartbreak, but Mo and I both love it. He and I have built an incredible relationship that I believe will keep growing over time. He's a challenging horse who's taught me more than any human ever could about being my best self, being in the moment, and trusting my intuition. My biggest fear in my sport is him getting hurt, of course. We've been so lucky and well prepared so far, but it's a very dangerous sport. So I was listening to your podcast while I was brushing his tail, and of course some of his hairs got stuck in the brush. I'm wondering how you might work them into a ritual, spell, or amulet to protect his safety when we're out galloping on cross-country. And she mentions that she comes kind of originally from sort of a Wiccan background, but has been working more with Appalachian and specifically Floridian folk roots. So I kind of was looking at this in terms of maybe sort of Southern conjure-style charming traditions that would maybe come from either Scots Irish roots or potentially maybe connected to hoodoo roots, general kind of folk magic that would tie into this. And it's just now occurring to me, I should really have looked at Roma magic, because there's a lot of Roma beliefs and customs that surround horse maintenance and horse care. Because that was a big thing that they were a traveling nomadic people, still are traveling nomadic people, and like that was one of the things they were really good at, was taking care of horses. So, but I didn't wind up looking at that, and I kind of wish I had, but maybe I'll find some resources and post those at some point. But what I was thinking was with the horsehair, the first thing that came to mind for me was to make some sort of a bracelet out of it. And like, if you wear it, then it sort of becomes this way of keeping an eye on Mo, even when you're not with him. So it sort of, it keeps you tied to him while you're wearing it all the time. And then I was thinking about, like, I was doing some more looking, and one of the things that kind of came up was, like, if you use, you can wrap silver a lot of traditions will say, like, either the cloth of whatever it is you want to protect, or the fur or the hide of whatever it is you're trying to protect from harm or witchcraft or whatever it is. And so I was thinking, like, if you made a charm bracelet out of the horsehair, and, like, you just kind of wove it together, and then every once in a while put in a little silver charm, it would be really decorative, but it would also provide this, like, special protective sort of amulet that you could wear, and you could make a matching one for Mo that you might be able to put somewhere else on his body. Or even you could braid silver charms into his mane, and then you'd each sort of have one, and it would help protect him, while at the same time keeping you tied to him to know, like, what was going on with him as well, sort of drawing that bond even closer. And then the other thing I sort of thought about, there's a tradition, called, it's the horseshoe of San Martin Caballero, and I know that this is not something that's coming from the Wiccan side of things, but she mentioned the Floridian side of it, and I know that there is a strong Catholic tradition in parts of Florida. And so I'm going to just read this. This was something that came out of Judica Elish's Guide to Mystic Saints and Sages, and this is called The Secret of the Virtuous Horseshoe. The Secret of the Virtuous Horseshoe is a popular Latin American amuletic magic spell dedicated to San Martin Caballero, who is basically Saint Martin the Horseman, is what that means. Intended to either draw money to the spellcaster or ease the pangs of relocation. So this is something I'm adapting for you to use, from its primary purpose to be one that, instead of having lots of money, this would give you lots of luck and protection. And you can easily craft it yourself. You need a real iron horseshoe, not a plastic replica. You have to wrap the horseshoe in red silk thread until only the very tips are exposed. Attach the wrapped horseshoe to a square of cardboard with the horseshoe turned so that the points are facing down, which is a specific thing, not up. And then decorate the cardboard and horseshoe with sequins, glitter glue, holy cards, medallions, votive images of San Martin Caballero. You may add complimentary spiritual images to other saints, as long as San Martin has the most dominant images. And when the physical aspect is complete, activate the virtuous horseshoe by saying the following verbal charm 21 times, which is Citron Nueve, which is essentially new lemons, which I think is interesting. But the way I sort of would adapt it is, instead of using the red thread, wrap the horseshoe in his hair until only the tips are showing. And then you can still do the decorated cardboard. And then I would say hang it in his barn. Because I think it will work better if it's something that's sort of constantly exuding a force of protection where he lives. And it would sort of be this way of always bringing him home safe, if that makes sense. So those were kind of the ways I took that. Do you have other ideas for what she could do?
No. That was pretty well covered from you. At the front of the podcast, we just kind of briefly shared each other's ones that we had picked. And so I didn't, I didn't realize that she wanted it for a specific thing of protection.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just thinking, okay, well, you know, horses have been used a lot in traveling over however many hundreds and thousands of years. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of beasts of burden, and kind of like how could we kind of use that ingrained symbolism and turn that into magic. So it could definitely be used in traveling type spells, or I would say of protection. But I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I've never been around horses too much. I think I'd have to think about that a little more. Sorry.
No, that's fine. And I think it's totally fine, you know, to go a little off of the, you know, I think the versions that I was looking at were specifically for her, her request. But I think it's also worth saying, like, okay, well, what if you work with horses? And I mean, obviously protecting your horse is a really important thing, but if you happen to have extra horsehair that you want to use for other things, I know Jillian Iron Powaka does a lot of work with horses, so I'd love to get her input on that at some point too. But like, you know, we mentioned the subway token as like, you know, use the subway token as a safe travel thing. If you did that and then like made, turn the subway token into kind of a bracelet or maybe even something that you could sort of hang from a necklace using the horsehair, like that gives you different levels of protection, I think. Different levels of travel protection that you could do.
Yeah, it's kind of modern and ancient.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that would be kind of neat to combine those things.
That is neat.
And create sort of an unending tradition of safe travel, because that would be nice. You know. So yeah, those were kind of the ways I took it. If I can't think of a whole lot else to do with horsehair. I know I used to have My mom used to have, she used to collect African drums, strangely. I have no idea why. And some of the sort of mallets that you would beat the drums with, would be covered in horsehair, but I don't particularly know the significance of that. Which maybe I should as a folklorist, but I don't, so.
You can only study so many things.
There are, truthfully, yes, I can only, it's the hole in my hat, so to speak. So that's really all I had with that. Do you have any other potential suggestions for that, for just general horsehair use?
You were saying like a bracelet or something. The other thing I was thinking of is you could braid it into your hair.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Your hair is longer. I mean, you being the general you, wrapping it in the, we used to do this in elementary school, like, you wrap thread around, almost like the friendship bracelets, but it would be in your hair.
Yeah.
So I could see, you know, just, and if you wanted to hide it, I know a lot of horse competitions and what is the, like, horse dance, like dressage, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
That type of thing. Like, it can be pretty formal. So, you know, maybe just, like, at the nape of your neck, so it's kind of hidden.
Yep.
But yeah, that's, again, I'm not, like, 100% what I would use it for, but if you are wanting it, you know, on your person and you can't maybe have a bracelet, then that would be another way to incorporate that.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think you could weave one of your hairs into the horse's hair as well.
Yeah.
And like sort of double down on. I feel like there's a powwow tradition related to that, and I can't remember the specifics on that, and that sort of drives me crazy. but yeah, I feel like there's something about that. I feel like that's probably more like to get rid of headaches or something like that, or like to cure some specific illness in the horse. But like at the same time, like. I feel like there's something you can do with that. That's really interesting. I like that idea of weaving it in.
Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, so you have one more, right?
Yes.
All right.
So, let me pull it up. Okay. She says, my everyday objects are old wooden frame storm windows. I have a small stack of them that I keep collecting for that future project, which never seems to happen. When I heard your contest, though, it automatically clicked. I'm guessing that you know what I'm talking about, but just in case. They are clear glass paneled windows built into a large wooden frame and generally made up of separate smaller panes of glass, grid-like. I have a few that have 6 panes of glass each and one that has 12 panes. I have a few ideas, but would love to hear your take on possible magical workings. And then she says, love your show and dynamic. Thank you so much. Aww, so this one was cool to me because, again, what I tend to go off of is kind of ingrained symbolism and mm-hmm. Sayings and just associations. So automatically I'm thinking, okay, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul. You know, mm-hmm. you're talking about windows. Windows can also be mirrors in certain light. Mm-hmm. So I can see using them, maybe blacking one out, maybe, you know, in like a dark light, you know, like when it's dark out, but you have your light on inside your house and your windows, you know, are basically turned into mirrors, but it's also kind of creepy because you can still kind of see through them.
Yes.
Which creeps me out to no end. But if they're not actually facing outside, you know, if you're in your room, then that could be different. So I definitely see it for, I'm blanking on the word.
Divination?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I just kept thinking of the word scrying again, which wasn't necessarily right. But yeah, so divination type things. Mm-hmm. Or something about the numbers of the panes jumps out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to use that, but I'm not quite sure how. I was hoping you could help me with that.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they're usually, so it's usually either, you know, a top and a bottom, or it'll be subdivided into like 2 groups of 6 or 2 groups of 9. So, I mean, the divisions of it, it's weirdly like this, it's weirdly about symmetry, like there's a weird symmetrical quality to it. So you could do like, you know, something sort of as above, so below with it would make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
That would be sort of useful, in terms of like, you, like decorating one with one specific kind of imagery and one with another kind of imagery, and then sort of using that as sort of your gateway access point to each realm that you're dealing with. And then you could even, you know, not to be all Stranger Things about it, but you could flip it upside down as a sort of ritual, like inversion.
Right.
To sort of, suspend yourself into the other realm for a certain amount of time or something like that. There's a ton.
This...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, there is a ton of stuff. I've been reading a book called The Tradition of Household Spirits by Claude Le Cocteau, where he basically goes through, like, all of these different things about, like, houses and the spirits and the spiritual things that you can find having to do with, like, different, like, your chimney. Like, what is the, you know, what's the magical significance of the chimney? And he's a little scattershot. He kind of gets traditions from everywhere, and so it's hard to follow some of them sometimes. But with windows, one thing he talks about is there are a lot of places where they will leave offerings to the deceased or to passing spirits, for example, at Christmas time at windows. And so you could create like a little outside, like box, offering box over the windows, where you just sort of leave your offerings to the otherworldly spirits in that box made out of the windows. And you could even, again, sort of give, like, paint a rune or a symbol or a sigil on each pane of glass, representing the kind of spiritual contact you wanted to make. And there was another tradition I thought was really, really interesting, which was, among the Ruthenian people, dead children would appear at the window requesting baptism. It was then necessary to make the sign of the cross and give them a name. In other words, to perform the simulation of baptism so they could find peace. So, like, using that as, like, an ancestral connection, like, you could put pictures of your ancestors under each one. And sort of use it as an ancestor altar, I think that would just be super interesting.
I like that.
Because it's, you know, a window is this barrier between an inside and an outside world.
But you can still see through it.
Exactly. It's permeable. And you can even open it. Like, you can even kind of come in and out, but it's not a door either. Like, it's not designed to be a passageway. It's designed to, like, you can open it and communicate. Mm-hmm. You're not really supposed to come through it.
So. Right.
So I just feel like you could do some really interesting things with that sort of tradition.
I like that. Yeah, what I was going to say earlier, I'll be honest, this one, no, not at all. It's just something I was going to say, is that this one gave me the most trouble out of all the ones I picked. Like, I still am not completely, I don't feel like I 100% have my head around it, but I don't know. I feel like there's definitely something there. I was hoping you could, like I said, help me with that, which you did. I really like your idea, but I feel like there's so much more and I'm just not grabbing it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think your idea, especially the, like, painting one side black and using it as a sort of scrying tool is kind of a cool idea. And I think you could even do, they'll also do these, like, sort of, like, you could put a specific sort of spirit's sigil on each window and, like, use that as sort of the summoning. It becomes a mirror, right? But it's also still this portal gateway to access that sort of specific entity that you're trying to reach too. So I think that you're onto something with the way that you're talking about it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And then, yes. I don't know. There's something else. I feel like I'm almost there, but it's not quite. But anyway, I did look up, you know, like, if windows were used in anything. I didn't really find much in any of my books, which I thought was kind of odd, but yeah. I love the idea of using it as a gateway.
Yeah. Yeah, again, as it's more of like a temporary passage for contact. It's, you know, it's the telephone. It's not the teleporter. You know, it's the thing that you can communicate without necessarily fully opening up that doorway, which is helpful sometimes, I think.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is like, you know, if it's something where, you know, if you needed to summon something up and it became a problem, like, you can shatter a window and it sort of gets rid of that problem as well, right? Like, that's
one would hope.
Right. Like, if you've summoned something and you're like, I need to get rid of you, smashy, smashy. It's an effective ritual. I wonder if there's a, like, what would you say about, like, using it? Because a window is one of those things where, like, shattering the glass is such a powerful act. Like making designs on the window of things that you want to get rid of.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, throwing rocks at it, like, that would totally be, like, that's the 10-year-old boy in me. It's like, throw a rock at it!
I love that. Well, it's funny because you see the, well, maybe not you personally, but I see them a lot in, like, craft projects and, mm-hmm. like, DIY-type decor stuff. You know, people will, again, you know, remove the glass panes and turn them into, like, bulletin boards and uh-huh. stuff like that. So I can definitely see incorporating that magically, like you said, shattering out the window panes in an intentional way,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, lining the back with, make sure the glass is cleared out, lining the back with some fabric, maybe something that speaks to you, you know, maybe something has stars on it, maybe something has some sort of floral pattern that you like, maybe an animal of some sort that you identify with, and then using that as something on your altar, you know, where you can pin, like pictures and, or put a, you know, hang up bundles of herbs or flowers mm-hmm. that you're drawing, that type of thing. So
yeah,
like,
I like that.
Using it in that kind of crafty home decor type way, but magical, you know, for your magical space.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like that idea, especially, like, so there used to be a lot of things for that you would do where, like, you would put little charms into window, you know, the thing is, like, the mortise and things like that, where you have, like, the frame of the window, is, I guess, what I mean. And, like, you could stick mm-hmm. a charm in it. And, like, if you just have the frames, if you've broken out the glass and you're using the frames, like, to dry herbs is where you kind of got me. It's like, oh, so if you made, like, a frame for drying herbs, you could, you know, if you think about, like, the frame being something that you don't hang up so that it's hanging up like a normal window where you look through it, but instead sort of turn it on its side so that you're mm-hmm. hanging, it's sort of like a pot rack, right?
Yeah.
From your ceiling. The top of that you could then inscribe with whatever you wanted to, because nobody's really going to see that. So you can make it kind of your magical herb drawing rack in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be cool. Yeah. That's neat. I dig it. So, clearly, six of these magical objects takes us over an hour to discuss. We're not going to get to all of the ones that were sent in. What are we going to do about that problem, Lane?
Because we had so many good ones. I mean, all of them were good, but we had so many. Just period. Stop. End of sentence. We had so many sent in, which we are so grateful for. Like, you guys really pulled it out. It was awesome. And these were just kind of picked semi at random, ones that we kind of, you know, felt people talking about kind of cold, you know, a little bit. Like,
right.
We were both confident that the other person could kind of speak to it. So, yeah. So what we're going to do is turn this into kind of a regular segment. And at the end of each episode, we're going to go through the emails that we have, probably just one each episode.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. you know, so it'll take a while. But we wanted to say, if you never got yours in and then you had something that you wanted us to talk about, so, you know, the contest is over, but if you want to send in multiples, you know, if you already sent one in and you wanted to send in another one, that would be great, you know, and we'll just keep this kind of segment going, and I think it'll be a lot of fun. I like the discussion that it can generate.
Yeah, it's definitely a fun, like, way to, you know, because the thing is, like, a lot of people, I think, maybe we're like, oh, I don't have anything, but at some point you'll run into something and be like, oh, that totally would work. I wish I had thought of that. Well, now, mm-hmm. if you do that, you can send it to us. We would really love to do that. We still have quite a lot. I mean, we have, I think, at least a dozen more, maybe more than that even.
Mm-hmm.
We had somewhere in the neighborhood of, I think, 100 different people enter, although, like, the number of magical objects that people actually sent in was less than that. But the number of objects we have is still plenty. We've got plenty to go for quite a while on this, but we would love to have more of these coming in because it gives us a lot to think about. It gives us some fun stuff to discuss. And you said at the end of every episode, it may not be at the end of, like, every single episode, but
we'll... Yeah. I meant mostly, like, our kind of sit down chat episodes, but
exactly.
Again, you know, if something runs too long, we may forego it, but it'll definitely be something that we pick up and get through. So if you're, you know, if yours wasn't discussed on tonight's show, don't take offense or anything like that, we will definitely get to it, and we definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. No, we are super thankful. I was so impressed. So impressed by the stuff that people sent in. Like, and again, this is, you know, we picked up just a few for tonight, and even picking those few, it was kind of like, well, there's still, I kind of want to get around to this one, and I kind of want to get around to this one. So it was a little harder to narrow down, and it wound up being kind of this thing like, well, what's going to be the thing that I know I can talk about, I know the other person can talk about, and it's not just going to throw us for a loop on this episode. So.
We were also afraid, because we did not get together beforehand and talk about which ones we were picking, we were afraid the other person was picking ours.
Right.
So, like, Corey had the animal one, so he was, you know, thinking, oh, Lane will definitely do the animal one, so. Thank you to everyone who sent them in. We really appreciate it, and keep them coming if you want to. We would love to hear more.
Absolutely.
I look around the house and just be like, let's talk about that next time.
The shoehorn. What can you do with a shoehorn? I don't know who has a shoehorn anymore. That was a terrible example.
We do, actually. We have a shoehorn.
That's hilarious. A Wii U. What can you do magically with a Wii U? Anyway, I'm sure there's a lot you could do. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. If you want to send us this kind of stuff, the best way to get it to us is to send it to us at compassandkey@gmail.com.
And now you know why we called it that.
Mystery solved. That was the slowest burn to uncover the mystery. <It was. laughs>
Yes. So you can also leave us comments. We would prefer for like submissions for the new segment basically to be email only, please. But you know, you can always leave comments on newworldwitchery.com.
Yeah, and I will say this as well. If you want to, email is awesome. Also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, that's cool too. You can do that at 442-999-4824. That is 442-99-WITCH.
Yep. You haven't memorized. Yay.
Sure I do. Yeah. Definitely didn't pull that up. Yep.
Oh, okay. Great. Cause I still don't have it. So,
anyway, you can also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest as well. All that's in the show notes. I think that's about it there for tonight. Lane, thank you so much. This is fun. I love these episodes where we get to be practical and witchy and just sort of riff and enjoy, you know, the everyday magic that we have. So.
Yeah, I love it. Cool. You know, this was definitely fun. I look forward to doing more.
Absolutely.
And just one last shout out to our Patreon members. We appreciate you. And
super,
thank you.
Super appreciate you guys. You guys are making this possible, so we appreciate that a lot. Cool. All right. Well, Lane, have a good night, and everybody else, thanks so much for listening.
Be well.